It's the Dougie Show. Yeah. Come on. I hear way too many people snoring right now, and they shouldn't be sleeping. Wake your ass up. You already know what time it is. It's the world's greatest show. Where we keep it 100. Y'all know his name, yeah. Y'all know his name. Oh yeah, that's right, his name is Dougie, the one and only. Yeah, it's the Dougie Show. Y'all know his name, yeah, y'all know his name. Yeah, it's the Dougie Show.
Hey yo, check it out, you're listening to the Waking Up Late with Dougie Show, recorded live on tape at Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. Now here's your host, keeping it real, Dougie Almeida.
What up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's Thursday morning, and I'm here with Lenny.
Yeah, you think when people hear that, they think it's a black show?
Well, quickly they realize it's not by the time they hear us.
Wait a minute.
Hey, man.
Those guys aren't.
Yo, man. Gotta listen to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. This is Dougie D, and they call me Dangerous. That's what I do. Ow!
Yeah, imagine if we did the show like that.
We should maybe try.
Yo!
What's up, homes? Check a lick it. Come on, let's just stick a dick it. Come on, it's time.
I don't even know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm turning into an idiot. Well, turning. Exposing the idiot. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's the WEI Network. Here, Tuesday through Thursday, our new schedule, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., still it ain't no pussy podcast. It's 3 days a week, right here on the, right, airing 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., Tuesday to Friday. On the WEI Network, you got to actually be on Peter's show, Peter's Living Room, weren't you this week?
Yeah, I was on Peter's Living Room. Is that on every night?
I think it's on, I think he does what we do, like Tuesday through Thursday or something.
Right. He told me he's doing pretty good. He said business is good on the radio show. He said numbers are up.
Did you ask him about our show?
He actually just mentioned all shows. Like, I didn't actually say, hey, is the Dougie Show doing good? He said he knew you were doing another network in Tampa. Didn't you mention that?
Yeah, we're simulcast on IRN right now. Hey,
nice.
Guys, welcome to the show. Those of you joining us on the west coast of Florida.
What a great little comedy spot that is between the Improv and Side Splitters, and then there's another gig or two.
You got McGurdy's in Sarasota.
Yeah.
All new room out there. Always great acts at McGurdy's. Shows usually Tuesday all the way through Sunday. Thursday through, or Wednesday through Sunday even. They got a new gig. I'm looking forward to coming out there at some point.
McGurdy's has a new gig?
Yeah, they have a new room. They built a new room. They, I think, opened 2 months ago.
Oh, that's right. I did read about that online.
Yeah. That's a
He's
great
been time. Around for a long time, right?
Yeah. Been there a long time.
What kind of people live in Sarasota? Is it old retirees?
There's a lot of wealthy people in Sarasota. And for the most part, they're... I'll tell you, the times I've been there, they're older folks, but they're pleasant old folks.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't...
No Jews?
Yeah. These people have it made. They don't have any grief or anything. Hey, what's up? Hey, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. These are cool old people in Sarasota because...
Not like Boca Raton where you have to change the table because you feel a breeze.
Yeah. It's too cold. I got to move.
I don't know if that doesn't taste like Marsala. Send it back.
I don't know if you know what Marsala tastes like.
Ma'am, I'm from Italy.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I don't even like dark people.
Italy, it's the other dark meat.
I know about the Sicilians. I saw the Christopher Walken movie.
Yeah,
so, lady.
So there is a difference, you know? So they got Sarasota's, and like you mentioned, the Improv at Tampa, which, that's going to be something I'm eventually going to get some work with. Actually, you're going to be doing my friend Long Island Mary, a comedian from that area. She has a show that she hosts at the Improvs in Orlando and in Tampa called the original, like From New York. Like everybody on the show is originally from New York.
What's her name? Long Island Mary?
Yeah.
You don't know her name?
Mary Tischbein.
Nah, it doesn't sound familiar.
She opened for me over at the Vero Beach Country Club, which we just inked the deal, by the way. The Wise Guys of Comedy are going to be at Vero Beach at Bent Pine Country Club on November 15th. It'll be a great show. Perry Sack, myself, and Lenny Travis.
Nice.
So if you, I don't know if I'm only members only, I don't know, but you know, it's going to be interesting. We'll compare, you know, I could compare the difference of folks from Sarasota with those from Vero. And they're pretty closely related though. So yeah, I would say the folks from Vero and the folks from Sarasota, a little younger in Vero. You know what I mean?
This is Vero that we just got booked?
Yeah.
Where were we recently? Were we recently in Jupiter at the Elks Lodge?
Elks Lodge, yeah.
Oh, so this is a little further north?
Yeah, a bit further. It's about a two-hour drive for us.
The Elks.
No, the Elks wasn't, 45 minutes?
Right, yeah, that was easy.
And the Elks Lodge is much different than the Bent Pine Country Club, I assure you. Yeah, it's going to be a little upscale, Lenny, so.
Nice.
Be prepared. Anyway, so that's November 15th, and while we're on plugs, don't forget, I'm real excited next week, Wednesday through Friday, or Saturday, and that's at September 24th or the 27th or something, I'm going to be at Vasani's, the Comedy Zone, Vasani's.
Hey, Vasani's.
Hey, you guys have a pizza here?
What kind of name? That's the name of the comedy club?
Well, it's Vasani's. It's a restaurant, really nice place.
We're going to open up a place called Vasani's. We're going to tell jokes.
Why, is your name a Vasani? No, it's a Walter.
Yeah, something like, why do you call a guy with a pizza in his face? You gotta let us in. Can you tell Joker like that?
Hey, that's some funny stuff. Can you let him on?
You gotta be clean, right?
Yeah, you gotta be clean. So,
because Italians, they've never heard bad language.
Yeah.
I want you to take that guy out and put a bullet in his freaking eye.
It's amazing. Yeah. You're doing comedy up there. Can you be funny? You're doing comedy on stage and everything, and from the kitchen you hear,
hey, you motherfucker! You're gonna have my fucking pizza ready or what, you fucking asshole!
Hey, you're gonna suck on my dick!
Hey, dishwasher, blow me, okay? I need a fucking glasses. I need a motherfucking silverware, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, a bunch of... One thing you don't hear Italians say, the F word and the S word.
No. It's always great.
You got to be clean, though.
It's always great, you know, when they say, cock a soccer. You a cock a soccer. What? Huh? Can I play soccer? What'd you just say?
No, I call you that a cock a soccer. You know that a cock a soccer?
Yeah, the chef just asked me to play soccer. Yeah. I don't think so.
Doug, what's the problem? Listen, I enjoyed my set. Thanks very much. But the chef just wants to know if I want to go kick a ball around. Really?
Yeah. I think he wants you to suck his cock. Oh, that's what he said.
It's a cock soccer.
Yes. No, I don't want to play soccer. I want to suck your cock.
Oh, that got lost in translation.
Well, are they giving you like 100 a show there?
I don't like to discuss my more than that, but yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, they got to put you up, right?
Yeah. It's a great gig. And it's great about it. As a comic, what's great about it, it's Wednesday through Saturday. So that means you drive there. You don't wake up the next...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about going back and forth.
You don't wake up the next morning and go, got to go 2 hours somewhere else. You know, you get the chill. That means, you know, you take all your clothes out of the suitcase and you put it in. You kind of live there. You know what I mean? And
you're not taking the wife.
She'll come over. You know, I'll have her come over a night or two. We got the dogs we got to deal with and stuff. But
like she can come over like Saturday, like Friday, Saturday, maybe.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like that's nice, a move.
Yeah, you know, like we did last time. So yeah, that's a great part. You got that. You know, so you got some days to self. Get to, you know, take a little swim. You know, do some swimming. Yeah. You know,
my wife knows that I have an ability to pick up strange women when she's not around.
Really?
Like as soon as I mention a gig, she goes, oh, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah. She calls work. Oh, yeah. I'm sick. I'll be out for 3 weeks.
Yeah. I have the one, not that I care, but we met at a comedy club.
Right. Yeah.
I even told her, I go, look, honey, just so you know, I am done. You know, with other women, and you know, I hope she bought it.
Were you convincing? And well, you know, like I always say, I can always get away with a gig, especially if I bring Perry with me, because I'll never get laid around Perry.
Yeah, he does. He'll cock block the hell out of you.
Yeah, that guy will fucking. You know, I don't care if it's a cheerleading squad. You'll end up sitting home jerking off the red tube.
Yeah, well, Perry, there's some hot chick who's looking at me. Yeah, she was just blowing me.
Yeah, I just nailed her.
She had something on her chin.
I just nailed her in the closet. Yeah, so But it's all those days in a row you get to chill. The place is great. It's kind of like a Tavolino's in the sense of food. It's fantastic food, I hear.
Ah, they give you the food.
Yeah. And but, you know, the best part about it is, A, it's going to be fun to have that many. You know, you got five nights of show. What is it? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Four nights of shows.
Right.
Yeah, and you get to work. And challenging because you got to be clean and you can't be, you know, which I'm not worried about that. And
yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. I never saw you work dirty, dirty.
Yeah, and dirty, dirty.
You know, like, hey, how the fuck's everybody doing? Hey.
Yeah. Now, you know me. How would you get my act? Am I dirty? Am I kind of a...
Yeah. I mean, I was known as a dirty act.
The first time...
Booker once told me, I can't use you because I've... In the 20 years I've known you, I've never seen you work clean. I was like, really? The spinner, don't sugarcoat it. Tell me what you really think.
Yeah.
And it's just because you've seen me like a bunch of times in some, you know, like in Boca. Who cares?
Right.
I remember I saw the act who used to open for Robert Schimmel. The guy, I mean, I thought I said fuck, you know, or, you know, 5-10 times. This guy was saying it every other sentence.
Right.
And I was like, why is he doing this? And I go to Schimmel. I go, this guy's cursing a lot. Schimmel goes, I don't care. And then Schimmel goes up, and he curses every other sentence.
Right. Well, it's interesting.
That's why God cooked him.
You're right. Most comics who are dirty prefer a clean act ahead of them. Matter of fact, it's funny you should say that, because my first gig, my first requested gig I was asked to open for someone was because you were dirty.
Really?
Yeah. And they said, I was going to hire Lenny, but, you know, Lenny's too dirty. I, you know, you can clean it up, right? You can do 15, 20 minutes clean. I go, yeah.
Who was it, Bruce Minoff?
No. Want to keep guessing?
Yeah, you could. Jesus, it was not Bruce Minoff. Fogel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fogel. Because I blew him away. He's like, oh, I can't follow that.
Right. Anyway.
He was headlining the night I met my wife, and he's still...
yeah, that's right. That is right. There you go. It's funny how we're all 6 degrees. Look at this. Peter Fogel's involved with everything, this guy. He called...
He's like, Lenny, I'm the headline. I don't know how that happened.
Well, she saw the act.
Yeah, she saw your act. You know, I won that... I'm in the Mardi Gras, the finals.
Right.
I won on Friday night. So Perry posted photos of me, you, and him on his Facebook. And sure enough, I go there and there's four lines from Peter Fogel.
Yeah, he likes to make comments.
Look at this guy have nothing better to do? Man, he looks like the Silver Surfer with a tan. Silver Surfer with a tan? It took me like a while and then I realized, oh, the Silver Surfer.
That's actually funny. Yeah, that was a good one.
Then Mr. Clean with the tan.
Yeah, well.
I was like, Pete, it's the same joke. Freaking guy.
Let me get a hold of myself. I got to go to that post now. Yeah, we, you know, it was funny. Every time we'd make comments, like I was doing the stand-up guy tour with Mike Banzica. It's like we'd post stuff, and he would be on there, and Mike would be like, look at this fucking guy. He'd get you. And I'd be like, what the fuck?
Let me go on Facebook and show what a dick I could be.
Yeah, people need to, like, it's amazing how, you know, some comments are on there, you know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I even catch myself. Sometimes I'm on there, I want to comment. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to bother with that. That's a, you know, that's like swinging for a ball in foul territory.
Yeah, I know. I told you, I noticed that some people, I guess there are settings on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, but there's settings where only the people who are your friends are allowed to comment, and then other people have settings where you could just comment.
Right.
So I was thinking, like, I would see this guy, and he's a really big conservative comedian, and he's always, like, such a, like, Fox News, big time, I hate Obama conservative. And I just want to, like, write some nasty things on his thing. And then people tell me, you know, they can, somehow they could track you down and find out who it is, even if you have, like, a John Doe name on Facebook.
Right.
Like, if you hired a detective, could they find out who posted this thing on Facebook?
Yeah.
On your Facebook page?
Yeah, because every Facebook, you'd have to subpoena the records to Facebook to, okay, it's based on an email. Well, if the email is, you know, BigBallsJoe54 at Yahoo, you know, then you...
Eventually, they can get back to your, what's it called, yeah, your ML, what's the line called in your house?
Oh, your IRN, whatever, the...
Yeah, like couldn't, like if you wrote anything nasty,
well, your
Facebook.
IP address, once you have somebody's IP address.
Yeah, your IP address.
There's people that have IP scramblers, that there's actually people that, since they do that, they get a little more protected. So,
yeah,
they,
like one of those.
Yeah, you can, so, all kinds of stuff out there. By the way, speaking of that, I heard that, just looking in the news today, that the United States is a little upset because China hacked into some of our defense company's information recently. I don't know if you read that. That was interesting.
Yeah, we did that.
Well, sorry.
We forgot to tell you.
We thought we were looking for something else.
Yeah, so sorry.
Yeah, we were trying to find out about that game you guys have over there. Was it called Scrabble? Yeah, we wanted to find out more about Scrabble. What? Yeah, Scrabble.
All right.
They said China injected like $81 billion into their banks, and there was such a stock market rally. I was watching it on Tuesday. I went, "Why? What's going on here? Like, is that important? Are they that screwed up in China that they needed that money?"
Well, it was about a week or so ago. They were coming out with bad numbers out of there, you know, that the production and everything was down and slowing and just, you know. Listen, China, everybody talks about China, but China needs, the big thing was the last report from China, too, is that there's a lot more millionaires and billionaires, I should say. No more million. $1 million.
Yeah, did you see this, what's it called, Alibaba coming out on Friday?
Yeah.
Is that any, you're not even buying the company because you're not allowed to buy Chinese companies. So you're buying like a subsidiary of it that's in the Cayman Islands that's like, it sounds so shady and it's going to be the biggest IPO in history.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when people call me about it. I'm like, look, it'll probably, all I can say is I'm sure it's going to shoot up in early day trading and it's whatever it opens at.
Would you like to buy it like an hour after it opens at the highest price of the day?
Yeah. The thing is, when a stock opens like that and you try to put an order in, you do a market order. Let's say it's trading at 50. You put a market order and it may end up filling at 56 with the pace that stock could be going up. It actually may not fill for like 40 minutes, you know. Just they're sitting there trying to, you know, so you got to put an order price in, $50.75. You put that order in, and all of a sudden, vroom, it's up to 52. Fuck. You know what I mean? All right, so now you got to try to.
Well, I think you could put a market order in, and you can get it. It opens at 50. You'll get it at 62, and then within minutes, it'll be trading at 54. And you'll go, I got filled at 62? Yeah, you got to watch those market orders.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little weird.
Did you ever go to Alibaba.com?
No. But by the way, speaking of that, their competitor, I guess they're will be Amazon. Yeah, and if you're listening to us on our website at wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com, go to the right upper area just below the top, and you'll see an Amazon logo. And I strongly suggest you go on there and shop it if you never have, because I just got my new New York Yankee batting shirt.
Nice.
I like to wear on stage. I ordered a new one. It came just a couple days later because I'm part of that Prime, you know, where everything comes out. You know, I pay a fee every year because I order something.
Yeah, Amazon Prime is cool.
Yeah. And so check that out. It helps the show, support the show. And getting some emails because we are putting out that we are looking to put some ads together because we are heavily listened to. Now with the simulcast, the website, everything, we're looking for advertisers, Lenny. So be on the lookout.
This Alibaba, I go to the site, and I was thinking of selling stuff at a flea market. So my wife goes, you go to Alibaba and see they have like a million things that you could sell. I immediately see, I mean, you didn't know like how legitimate this is, but like you have to buy quantity. So if I could buy 500, what do you call it? iPads, not Apple. But what are those kids? What's it called?
Fires?
A tablet. You can buy like 500 tablets from a brand name you never heard about, and you can get it for like $25 a tablet if you buy 500, and then you could sell it for whatever you want.
Right.
And then when I read, I got the name and I went on Amazon and you read the reviews, and there's like a list of reviews that say, wouldn't work, couldn't hook up, didn't connect to my internet. I touched it and the screen fell off.
Yeah. It's made in China.
Yeah, it's all these Chinese, like all kinds of clothing. You could rent a booth in a festival flea market and get like a million pair of ladies' pants and sell them for whatever you want.
So basically, with Alibaba, we can expect the flea markets to be loaded with inventory.
Yeah, from China.
Yeah. Hey, why is that iPad only $50? It's just a great deal.
Yeah. If you hit the Y, it explodes like in a James Bond movie.
Yeah. When it say it's self-destruct, you go pow. It's gone.
I could just imagine, like, you know, what am I going to do with my returns?
Right.
Hello, Alibaba. You know, half of them are coming back broke. We're not here.
Yeah, sorry. Hold on. Hold on a second. We get back to you. American.
Those who own Yahoo stock, you know.
Right. Yahoo owns, like, I think.
Yeah, like 20% of it. Yeah, they own a certain percentage of it. You can't stop seeing a photo of the actual guy who owns it, because he's going to become a multi-billionaire.
Have you seen this guy? Jack Ma.
Jack Ma.
This guy looks like you could just see him with like 20 prostitutes in a room.
Yeah.
He's this older, thin Chinese guy. I want a big train of prostitutes.
You come over here.
Everyone licking each other from behind, and then one at a time, they come up to me.
Yeah. And say hello.
Yeah. I'm Jack Ma.
I'm Jack Ma. It's almost like jackpot, but it's me.
I think they said he's the richest man in China.
Yeah.
Until the government decides that he's not.
Right.
Great government they got there in China.
Yeah.
Remember, all that stuff you have? Yeah. It's ours now.
Yeah, the People's Republic of China. Wait, you can't do that. What? Do you want your head cut off?
Hold on, get my sword.
Yeah, you never know. Got to be suspicious. But, yeah, I mean, that, you know, Jack Ma.
Hey, I'm Jack Ma. Here I am.
Yeah, you can picture that. That guy is getting a lot of special trim, as we'd call it. Yeah, you don't get one. You order a few.
Oh, absolutely.
Get a few.
Yeah, that's just like how Alibaba works.
Yeah.
I get 20 hookers. At least two of them make good looking.
Okay, you over there. Yeah, the one with the dark hair. Come over here and suck on my toe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You come here. You blondie, come here.
Line up in size order of your tits.
Yeah, you come over here and sit on my face. Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on a second. Not yet. I got to pick more girl.
Nuts. Yeah, that's going to be a big deal, man. But anyway, don't forget, go to the Amazon tab and shop. I actually ordered some Puma suede sneakers to match my shirt.
A big market moving event is this, the Scotland vote.
Yeah,
whoever knew this was possible? You talk about this week?
Not at all, because, you know, that's not something Tim Hanlon, Mike Cintron, or Peter Leonard, or Minda. You know, that's what's great about the show, by the way, because, you know, on Friday here, me and Lenny will talk about everything from money to politics to porn. And
yeah.
And it, you know what I'm saying? That it's a pretty wide, right? It's a pretty diverse topic that we have here on Thursday shows now. But anyway, so we have it. So, okay, England, Great Britain. Great Britain is comprised of England, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland, is that? No.
Ireland, right?
Yeah. And basically, Scotland is saying, we don't want to be part of these wankers.
Yeah, and wasn't this what that whole William Wallace movie was about with Mel Gibson?
Yeah. Are the
English... Scotland must be free!
Yeah, maybe that's been the big show at Netflix over there in Scotland. I'm pissed off.
I mean, now you get a chance to be free and you're not going to take it? William Wallace is rolling over in his grave.
Right now, the last consensus is basically 50-50. They had some clips on the TV where they show like a bar, like a guy who ran a pub, you know, right. People would come in and vote by ordering what drink they want. And it was basically 50-50. Now, isn't England a little bit upset about this? You even heard the Queen saying, I can't say anything about this.
Absolutely.
Yes. I feel jilted.
I just want to say, fuck Mel Gibson.
Yes, a prick.
Look at this, Scotland. 80% of the exports of food and drink exports is scotch.
Right.
Can you imagine the alcoholism that must be in that country?
Yeah, there. We don't need. I can't do a Scottish accent right now. Hold on. Let me get my.
We don't need to worry about the English. That's right. We have our own scotch. Sell it across the world. Bloody English.
So they're afraid that if this happens, then there's, I don't know, there's parts of Spain and Italy that want to break away.
Right.
So they think it's gonna it'll start a ripple effect that'll sink like those countries are in so much trouble, but there's like a little slice of them that are doing well. So it would be like if New York decided to leave the United States, it'd be like, wow, that's not good because, you know.
It's a big part of the revenue of the entire country.
Yeah, it's a big part of the revenue for the whole country.
Yeah. If you took New York, California.
Really?
What do you think of the most productive states in our nation?
New York, California, Texas, Chicago. That would be the rest of the country would be absolutely screwed.
Right. And that, so they're worried about the domino effect, you know, like in Spain, they talk. Well, it wasn't too long ago that even Texas decided we got a black president. We got to get the fuck out of this country.
Yeah. Remember they were talking about seceding?
Yeah. They didn't like it. So, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. When is the vote, by the way? Do you know?
Tonight.
Tonight?
They said they'll know the results Friday morning.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting. Now, if they get the vote, they'll be no longer part of it. Now, are they losing? Would Great Britain be losing a New York?
What's great is if I was Great Britain, I would just immediately send the army over.
Well, I understand the Great Britain has one of their nuclear submarine base there that would have to be moved. you know, it's like anytime you have a breakup, you know, you had a breakup, you got, oh, shit, we got friends that were, you know, countries, if they have a country breaks up.
They've been together for 300 years.
It's a long relationship. Some people have a hard time leaving somebody after a year. Look at this.
Without the EU support, Scottish farmers currently get subsidies to grow. Hold on. This is William Wallace right here. No, not him. Yeah, what a mess. But yeah. If I was a guy who lived in Scotland and I was like Scottish, wouldn't you want your own country?
You think people are concerned that they won't be able to handle it on their own? Like they need the United Kingdom and their.
I know. Well, Sean Connery was. You better vote yes on this.
Yes.
Screw the Queen.
And I have on several occasions.
London. I can't stand that shitty. Mr. Connery? It's a shitty. Shitty. How many Scottish celebrities are there? You got Sean Connery, and I think there's like one other guy.
Where's Craig Ferguson from? He's Scottish, isn't he?
Is he? He might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, don't make fun of me. I was on the Drew Carey show.
Well, he's going to fall
I can't
out.
Replace Letterman. Screw you. I quit.
Yes. Fuck you.
Like Rihanna to CBS.
Fuck you, motherfuckers. I want to use my song.
Yeah, what was that? Why? Because she got beat up?
It was kind of weird why the football. To me, again, when I looked more into this, it's like kind of weird that the National Football League decided to hold off from having their song air with her and, was it Jay-Z? I don't know who it was. Someone else, because she was someone who suffered domestic abuse. And they had this situation with Ray Rice, you know. And they didn't want to do it. Then they said they're going to put it on this week. And she goes, "Fuck that! Fuck! Don't use my. You can't use it."
Well, you were going to make $500,000. Come again?
Yeah. Well, my point was obviously she burned a bridge. We call that burning a bridge.
Yeah. Really.
And it's like I don't know. There's been bridges burned, like when LeBron left Cleveland and came to Miami, the owner of the Cavs basically ripped him. He says that fucking asshole, whatever, you know what I mean? He says he was terrible and just bad mouthed LeBron forever. You know,
oh, yeah.
And then he goes back. But I think, with that, it looks like LeBron could end up owning that team.
Oh, absolutely.
That'll be the pinnacle of LeBron James is owning Cleveland Cavaliers. And yo, man, guess what? We're going to let chicks in the locker room. Anybody? Yeah.
Yeah, there was a good article in the paper the other day, the last five guys available for the Heat to sign. And one, I don't understand why they don't sign this guy. I don't know his name. He's some, I think, a center who played in Brooklyn last year. And it was like, sign the center? Of course you want a tall guy. Like, how could you not do this? What are you even waiting for?
They're going to be pretty big anyway. At this point, they're going to be a big team. They're going to be a bigger team. Well, definitely bigger than they were, but... By the way, because I'm a Miami Heat season ticket holder, I bought four really good seats for Usher in December.
Really? You're going to go see Usher?
No, I'm not going to go see him, you idiot. I'm gonna sell the tickets.
Right.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of people that like Usher. Like, my friend who does the same thing, he bought the Shakira tickets. And when I saw it, I'm like, I'm not going to fucking Shakira. But he bought them. He goes, dude, I don't like Shakira either, but I bought them for $150. I sold them for $350 apiece.
Nice.
Because you get to buy them before anybody else does. Before they really go on the market.
Right, right.
So we end up, I got like 20th row in the floor on the right there in the front of the stage.
Oh, that's a riot.
So, I pay $150 for them. I figure, I'm going to sell. I put them right back on there for $450 apiece.
That's a move.
Right. Not bad. Trying to think.
If they don't sell, do you have to go see Usher?
Yeah, I got to find other. Then I got to find two other people to go with me.
The wise guys are going to be seeing Usher tonight.
Be a Facebook post. Wise guys are going to be attending the Usher concert.
There's Peter Fogle. Lenny looks like he belongs in the band.
Thanks, there, Peter.
Yeah, Peter. Peter Fogle. Hey, Dougie, listen. He asked me to do it. I got him a headline. He's going to headline. Hopefully, he don't cancel it. By the way, we have a co-headline spot in December at Tavolino's with Peter Fogle and Rick Corso.
Oh, that's a good show.
But it's the first Wednesday in December, and Eddie's like the owner of Tavolino's. Like, listen, we got parties in here and everything. They'll give me this amount of money. I can't have a comedy show that night, you know. It's like kind of rough to have a comedy show that night.
How about Eddie? Wouldn't it be fun to have a comedy show at this party?
Yeah, that's the first thing I said. Well, wouldn't it be great that you say,
my order of broken leg of lamb just came in.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if we offered him a nice professional show while they're sitting here eating at your great restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, in December, on December 10th, we have Tom Rhodes coming.
Nice. Did he want extra dough?
I have to look. It was actually reasonable. That's why I think it's happening. But he's going to be here on December 10th. And Tim Hanlon, right here from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, will be his feature.
Yeah. Oh, Tom Rhodes, always a funny dude.
Yeah. That'll be cool. And last night we had Bruce Smirnoff, who did a great job. Great. That's a great crowd for Bruce.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect crowd for him.
You know what I mean? So that's right. Don't forget next week, Forrest Shaw is here at Tavolino's. He's a Florida comic who moved to L.A. searching his dream. And he's going to be here with Lisa Correa.
Nice.
And
Did you hear of the Peter Fogle story with the cruise ship? No one's sure that if it's true or not.
Really?
That he made a joke. I'm trying to think of what it was about. Maybe he made a joke. Remember the guy who was pushed off the cruise ship on a wheelchair? The Achille Laurel?
Really?
So supposedly he did a joke about it, and there was a relative of that guy.
Oh, no.
And supposedly Peter Fogle was airlifted off the cruise ship. You could mention it to him one day.
I can picture
that true story. Were you ever airlifted off a cruise ship? Because
can you imagine him sitting out on the balcony? He's like, oh, my God, somebody's actually going to get picked up on this helicopter. Ooh, that's amazing. I wonder who that is. Me?
Yeah, put on this leather diaper with ropes. Why? Because you're going on a trip.
Yeah, you're leaving us now, Peter. I actually heard that. I don't know if I heard it from you, but I remember hearing about it. Yeah, that's not good. And you know, that's a bad timing, right? That's like a perfect storm. Really bad in attempt at humor whether you know somebody there. What are the odds of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I bet you he thinks. I bet you Peter's been thinking about that many a night. What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, I don't hear him doing too many cruise ships.
Yeah, well, would you want to do a cruise ship? Could you, you know? Well, you would, right? You'd be.
I would still think. I just can't see how you turn down $3,500 for a week's work. Like, that's the killer of it. I would love to do it once just to see if I could do it.
Right.
I know if all you need is an hour. I mean, you could probably do an hour. You could do Perry's act.
Yeah.
All you need is 2 half hours.
Yeah.
And you could probably talk to the crowd, too.
Yeah.
So if you talk to the crowd for 5 or 10 minutes a show, you did you could probably do, what's it called? You know, that date, not the dating game, the Family Feud.
Right.
You could probably do that twice, you know, each show, and it would be different.
Yeah, no, it always be different.
If that killed 7 to 10 minutes, then now you have, now you could do the cruise ships. It's that simple.
Yeah, exactly. And, to work a cruise ship, you need an hour and a half. You basically need 30 minutes of family.
No, I think you can get away with an hour. I went to this website, and it had the amount of material that all these comics had. And 80% of them had said 60 minutes, 30 clean, 30 adult. And only a handful of people had, like, said 2 hours.
Hmm.
And that was at Don Casino. That's like one of the biggest bookers of comedians on cruises.
Well, that's interesting. So go for now. So obviously 30 minutes of just clean and then at least another 30-minute act. But, you know, if somebody had to see you again, like you said, if part of your act can change, but it's you know, it's a part. So, to me it wouldn't work. I couldn't be on the road. I couldn't be out there. That's why I'll never be a cruise ship comic. Listen, I don't like going out on the road. You're not on the road. You're on the ocean, you idiot. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's Friday. Or Friday.
Thursday morning.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and it's Thursday morning here. And I'm here with Lenny.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget, stick around today. Our good friend Jeffrey Gurian is here. Going to be talking about unusual news. We've got a great story planned, I'm sure, with Jeffrey. We'll get to hear what's going on around New York and everything in New York, because Jeffrey jumps around. And we'll get to hear about how things are going on his serious his appearances on the Ron and Fez show and Sirius. And his weekly column in a Terabang called Jumping Around with Jeffrey. I probably screwed that up. He's going to be...
Yes.
He'll correct me. Anyway, we'll be right back. Right after this.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Dougie Show. I don't know what the journey's for. You tell me. I'm here with Lenny.
Yeah, it's more. Was that Zeppelin?
No.
It's Zebra. Who's behind the door?
Zebra.
Yeah. Catch it on iTunes. That's where I got it. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Again, we want to welcome our new listeners over at the IRN. listening to us on the international radio, or what was that, internet radio network.
Nice.
On the West Coast, I guess, based out of the West Coast of Florida, which we love that place.
Love the West Coast of Florida.
A lot of nice clubs out there, like Lenny said. The Improv, Side Splitters, you know, McGurdy's. A lot of great clubs.
Yeah, think about all those. All those are all A rooms.
Yeah, exactly. So,
how far is Tennessee from Florida to do the other Side Splitters? It's not that far, is it?
That's what I'm wondering, because I'm actually going. I got invited to the Scruff City Comedy Festival.
Really?
And it's November 7th and 8th.
So I've seen, I think there's like four gigs in Tennessee.
Yeah, there's a few. Now they did close Side Splitters until the end of the year. I don't know if you read about that.
Which one?
The one in Knoxville.
Why'd they close it, did they say?
They said for football season.
Football's that big?
Well, they're in Tennessee. I mean,
the Titans?
Even the Tennessee Vols are not very good this year, I understand.
Oh, the college team.
Yeah, that's a big, you know. I got the email, like, because I was scheduled there with me and Jim Florentine the last weekend of September 11th, 12th, whatever, 13th.
And it got canceled?
Well, Jim canceled it because he ended up filming his TV special. Yeah, he filmed it for TV, his gig in Jersey somewhere at a theater. So right. He canceled it, and he says, oh, we'll reschedule it sometime. But then I got the email from the clubs, you know, because I'm probably on the list at some point somewhere in there for the show. I'm like, you know, saying, hey, you know. So, but yeah, who knows? They're supposed to open back in December. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, man, I'm looking at, I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take to drive there, but I don't want to fly to Tennessee. You know what I mean? I already said to myself, you know what? I hate flying. You know what I mean? And I could see myself, God forbid, was the planes going down. You know, fuck, I just didn't want to drive 12 hours. You know, this is, I put myself 35,000 feet in the air for this. You know?
I kept thinking about one of the worst flights I ever had. I had the last seat on the plane in the aisle. So when you open the bathroom door, there was me.
Right. Yeah, I've had that.
And
seat.
At least a couple of times, like the bathroom door opened and I went, whoa. I go, what a bad seat this is. And then it took me forever to get off the plane.
Yeah, that's the worst. Unless they open the back. Sometimes they open the back, which is always.
No, it was like, I go, boy, is this a seat if you have pain or diarrhea in the air? Other than that.
Yeah. That's the only advantage that would be. You know, I'm always amazed to this day when you see a new housing area being built and there's like a dump. Like in Florida, we have dumps. They're basically our only mountains. Yeah, they're like our only hills. Yeah, if you drive through Florida, you see this. Wow, what's that big grease? You know, that big green.
What's that big mountain?
Yeah, what's that big green grassy mountain? Oh, it's a dump.
It's garbage. You better buy bottled water.
Yeah. And, you know, but people buy houses near them. They think, like, you know, they like it's a mountain view, you know. Oh, we got a hill back there you can see. It's a dump, you idiot.
I got a beautiful view of the mountain. Hey, I think the mountain's on fire. No, that's the methane coming out of those little tubes.
I don't know if it's a mountain or a volcano because it keeps spewing stuff out.
Really? Because it smells like my house has been egged for the last month.
Yeah. I feel like somebody keeps lighting smoke bombs. I smell that. So even like when you drive on the turnpike, you pass the one in Pompano, you know, you got to remember to put the recirculate on your air conditioner.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get that smell in your car. You're like, oh, God.
I'm a little close to there. And once in a while, I'll open my door and go, huh, no wonder this condo was so cheap.
Yeah.
We're going to have to sell this on a day where the wind isn't blowing in this direction.
Yeah. But honey, before we show the house, look at the Weather Channel. Yeah, I lived in the townships out there and stuff. And that, yeah, some days it'd be like, whoa. And you, most of the time you don't. Yeah, that's the benefit of that. Cause that's a nice community, but you know, you don't. But some nights, you know, if it's gamey out and it's not windy, ugh. Like, let's go out and have a barbecue. Maybe not. Let's go have pizza. Bad night. At any rate. So yeah, man. But hey, so by the way, you know what? I was just looking at the calendar. I've been asked to host the comedy show at Starlight Lounge.
Where's that?
The one you went to, the one we've done in Pompano out there with the smokers.
Oh, yeah? She wants you to do a show there?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, well, ugh. At first I was like, ugh.
On a Wednesday?
Wasn't it Tuesday nights?
Tuesday.
Yeah. I think it's October 12th or something like that. She actually called me and I couldn't. The original date, I'm like, no, I couldn't. It made that easy. And then it's October 21st. So I have right now I have confirmed you and Perry. She wanted
October 1st? Yeah, absolutely.
October 21st.
21st, yeah, that's perfect. Right. I want to see the finals of the Mardi Gras is the 24th. So I want to do as many spots between now and then that I could.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Lenny's in
there.
Yeah,
I'm in.
That was a fun night over at Mardi Gras. Nice room. You had that and a great crowd. Me and Perry went to go see you. And
it was good.
You and the young lady and of course Kirk Meadows, who it was no surprise to many of us that Kirk wouldn't win. And I'm like, kid, Kirk, we love you. But it was good though. Everybody did well. Actually, it was a good contest.
Yeah. I asked Peter how do you judge, and he said. The judging is based, I didn't say how evenly or it was based, but he said it was based on stage presence, material, and how you did with the audience. So that's interesting. So technically, I would think that 90% of it should be how you do with the audience.
No, because, you can't, audience will laugh at anything if it's funny, whether it's original or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's
funny when he said that. Now I'm trying to think of my last set, and I go, maybe I shouldn't do like a 7-Eleven bit about a guy who doesn't understand what you're talking about because I have other things I could do, and I go, why even risk it?
No, you should do new stuff. I'm a firm believer that, like, by the way, I'm going to be at in Laughlin, Nevada, October 3rd at the casino. Go to Dougie Almeida for further details, DougieAlmeida.com. But, that's the con. Like, the first round, you do 6 minutes. And then if you advance, you got to do another show where you're doing 8 minutes, but it can't be the same material.
Right. So is in Laughlin?
Yeah. Which
that's interesting. You know what? You could easily do that.
Well, that's the thing. What do you do first? Like my first thought was, all right, do I come out with because I have a bit now. It's pretty much what I just put on YouTube as my festival entry.
Right.
And you win with that. Okay, you get through, great. But then you're like, okay. So in other words, you put your best 5, 7 minutes, whatever bit up to get through, and then hopefully your B material or the next thing, what I'm saying?
I would definitely leave the majority of stuff for the second set. And in 6 minutes, you don't have to do if you're doing 6 minutes, maybe do a couple of things for a couple of minutes out of your best stuff.
Right.
But just don't do all 6 minutes of your best stuff and then not have your best stuff for the next round.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Because if I didn't make it to the round, I'd be like, shit, I should use my best stuff. Because part of me...
That's what Roseanne Barr said on Last Comic Standing. And that was... It's a hell of a thing. You're in Last Comic Standing and you're figuring, look, I have to get to the next round no matter what. So she was saying, look, you got to do your best stuff and hope you have, even better stuff, or hope that, your other stuff will be as good. But what's the sense of not doing your best stuff?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting, it's an interesting thing to look at.
I was thinking that. I was like, huh, she's kind of right. If I was on national TV, like Last Comic Standing, I'd be thinking, I could be up against some really good comedians here. How do I not do my best stuff?
Right.
Like, why am I saving anything? As far as I get in this show was probably good.
Well, something like you have an advantage. Like, for example, the last big contest I was in Dubuque, the 10K challenge, I was like 10th or 8th out of 10 people on the show.
Right.
And it was like, basically everybody came out and fucking crushed, except, one guy ate shit. But basically like 6, 7 people went up and just fucking crushed. And I'm like, oh my God. You know what I mean? I can't rethink that. I gotta come out and crush. So, but if you're sitting there and a lot of people are kind of like doing, you know what? I think if I just do this bit or this bit, I'll probably get through. And, So if you're if you're a little further along on the list, you know, may not be a bad thing. Hey, by the way, speaking of being further along on the list, tonight's Thursday. I'm going to be you can listen to me and Peter Leonard. I'm going to be co-hosting for a portion of the show tomorrow on the Food for Thought show.
At the Meatballs?
Yeah, Meatball Room. So if you're in Boca Raton, come out from from 6 to 8.
Did you ever do the second comedy show there?
No, we're actually scheduled for October 18th at Meatball Room in Boca. Comedy show, The Wise Guys. James Yon is going to be your headliner nice. From Orlando. And I'm still looking at who I'm going to have open and all that stuff. But, yeah, Meatball Room, funny. We're going to be there on the radio show from 6 to 8 to then. And, of course, you can also listen to it at www.wnnradio.com. Boy, that's a lot of W's. And, nice. And of course, and I'm going to be doing a guest spot or doing an appearance at the Bull Tavern in West Palm Beach Thursday night. Going to go out there. A lot of me, Tam Hanlon, a few other comics going to be up there.
The Bull Tavern.
The Bull Tavern in West Palm Beach.
It's not right a lesbian bar.
It got me nervous there for a second. You know what I'm saying? The Bull Tavern.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bull Dyke Tavern. Oh, I left
the Bull
part
Dyke
out.
Tavern. Oh, that's right down the block. You just
hey, that's not a bull up there with horns. That's only one horn. What is that? Anyway, yeah. So there's some things coming up.
And now, straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, it's about that time we start talking about some headlines. Hey, two things. You mentioned Adrian Peterson because we talked about him on the show this week.
Right.
And, you know, some
people. What do you think about that? How bad? I didn't see the pictures. Was this kid really hurt? The kid was hit with a thin branch from a tree. They call it a switch. They said if you saw the pictures, they're on the internet. I guess it looks like a little, you know, it looks like you got whipped. Like you see that, you see a line across your ass.
You know, I'll be honest with you. When I first saw it, if you leave marks on the kid, that's not good. So, but the only things aren't, sometimes life is not good. And if children are being a certain way and they're not being good to the extent where they risk the welfare of you and your family.
Yeah, it wasn't like this kid. I'm not saying he deserved it, but I think he did something bad. I think he knocked down one of his other kids.
He knocked one of his brothers off the motorcycle, like pushed him off the motorcycle because he wouldn't get off the game.
Right.
And, you know, you basically, you the kid hits, falls down, hits his head. It's inappropriate behavior, to say the least.
Yeah. And I think he also has like a bunch of kids from a bunch of different women.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a bit of it adds to the sibling rivalry, I'd imagine. But here's the thing. When you watch the news today and you see what these fucking kids are doing.
I know. I kept thinking, I bet that kid who got hit will behave for the rest of his life.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the first thing that I went through. I thought, look, the odds are anyone who gets hit with a switch, it's going to hurt. And I guarantee that this kid isn't going to do bad stuff again.
Yeah. That was my view on it. It wasn't that, oh, you know, Paul, the poor kid. Maybe the fucking kid needed a whipping ass.
Yeah.
Maybe this
or
is like
the father went, hey, take a time out and here's a couple of quarters and go play that video game by yourself for 20 minutes. Nah, I think that kid would come back with a vengeance.
Exactly. What's the old joke? Send the kid to the room. Nowadays, the parents can't send their kid to the room. It's a fucking palace.
Yeah,
the kid's room.
It's a fucking video parlor. Yeah. I don't know whether to play video games on my TV or my computer.
The next house to make sure raising children works, not only will a child have their own room, but they'll also have the room that'll be the room. Like, okay, you know, no, you don't go to your room. Go to that room. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like just a dark room with nothing in it, a fucking chair and like a mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
With no internet in there. And the kid just has to sit in there for a day. You know what? If you don't want to use force on a kid, there has to be some sort of major element of loss for the behavior to change. You know, everybody believes in positive when it comes to kids. That there's a positive reinforcement, right? Like, let's say you're training your dog to do something. You go sit, and he sits. You give him a treat. That's positive reinforcement, right?
Right.
Negative reinforcement. You tell the dog, you know, sit down. He doesn't sit. You hit him in the fucking back of the paper.
Right.
Yeah, that's negative reinforcement. So. You know, positive is much better, of course. But, you know, when the kid, if the kid is doing something beyond belief, you know, I had this situation in our own family members of kids doing all kinds of fucking things. That if they were my kid, I have nephews that are doing shit that if it was my kid, You know what I mean?
Yeah, take out the switch.
But that's...
Peterson said that's how he got brought up. He goes, hey, man, I got hit too.
Yeah, and he didn't turn out that bad. Look, at least the kids... Oh, he's beating his kids. Fuck anybody that out there right now that's saying, oh, Adrian Peterson, he's not a good dad. He beats his kid. Fuck you. Those kids are going to be well taken care of.
Absolutely.
You know, even like they had Mayweather on.
Yeah, didn't he have spousal abuse or something?
He paid everybody off, so legally he could say he never got convicted. But you know, the kids themselves said they saw him beating the shit out of the mom. You know,
right?
And all kinds of stuff. He actually had an interview on one of those news channels, and they kept asking him that. He's like, no, there was no truth. It was all hearsay.
They asked the kids, and the kids was like, he threw a left hook, a right jab, a two to the body, and a left hook, and down goes Frazier.
Isn't that right, Larry Merchant?
That's what happened.
You got fucking Howard Cosell calling that one.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather has his wife.
Towering wife. Yeah, ding!
And now he's got his wife up against the refrigerator. Oh, a right cross, a left hook, and an uppercut.
I bet she watches what she says to him from now on, Bob.
She'll be obedient, she will. And I was waiting for him to flip out, like we saw Tyson flip out on that one dude, which I was glad he did, matter of fact, when we talked about it yesterday.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That was good. You know, some people, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, when you hear about this Adrian Peterson thing, you say to yourself, look, sometimes let's not get into somebody's fucking family. One way or the other, you know, thank God, A, that he is there. I mean, he's with his fucking kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I first heard it. Did you hear it? They go, he got something for child abuse. I go, Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
And he's a guy who I think last year, a stepfather killed one of his kids. Like one of the women that he had a kid with, her boyfriend killed his kid.
Right. Exactly.
And I was like, boy, you know, I heard that. Now this, I go, this isn't a guy who beats his kids. And then when I heard he was disciplining the kid, I go, how could you tell anyone how to discipline their kids?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It causes whelps and things like that. Look, you know, why is anybody saying what's been going? No one, everybody wants to condemn somebody, but they have no, like you said, look what he just dealt with. He lost one kid to something, right? How do you know that this guy, you know, isn't dealing with, as any parent, maybe dealing with all these incredible challenges of their kids?
Yeah, you know? And, you know, how bad did this kid hurt his other kid?
Right.
He's like, hey, you know, I got to make sure this never happens again. Watch this.
And all I keep thinking about is, are we that lost as a society that we forget what these kids are doing? You watch with the bullying and shit like that, you know? You think maybe if more people took a switch to their fucking kids... Maybe some of those assholes that are beating your pussy kid up won't beat that kid up anymore because his dad gave him a fucking whooping.
Absolutely.
And I know there's some people that are going to say, no, most kids are bullies because their dads are bullying them. And I'm like, I don't know about that shit. We're not talking about the drunk guy who just comes and smacks around his fucking kid for no reason. Okay? If some kid, I can assure you that any fucking kid that's being a dickhead who gets his ass whooped once. Now, if the kid has to get his ass whooped every week, well, that's when you send the little fucker to military school. Okay, if you have to beat your kid's ass on a regular basis, then there has to be something. There's a new level there, and that's unfortunate. There's a lot of parents going through that, but you know, at the same time, there's a lot of parents that didn't parent in the early stages, and then all of a sudden later on, and I saw a lot of this when I used to teach martial arts to kids. Right, I was in athletics. I used to coach soccer. You know, it's amazing the way people say, oh, you can't, I didn't want to coach soccer anymore for a while. They're like, oh, you don't want to, can't deal with the kids. The kids are fucking great. That's why I'm doing it. It's the parents.
You heard like some of your brother's kids, your brothers told you some crazy things they've done?
Oh, I got two of my nephews have been arrested on a few occasions. One is in jail right now. So it's like.
It's like, but here, that never should have even got close to that.
But let me give you a little, right, and exactly. I mean, it's not like a windshield to a bug. There's a build process here. And it was fun. It was amazing because, you know, I was growing up, you know, I'd go to my brother's house and family events during the week, whatever. And like, yeah, I'd even be looking like, hey, man, your kid's like 5 years old. It's like 11:30, 12 in the night, almost midnight. Why is he up? You know, I was in my 20s, whatever, you know, it's like, Why is the kid still up? Oh, you know, because daddy comes home work from late and like from, well, okay, I understand, but really, that means that
gotta be like an order and a discipline, routine.
And if there isn't, then you wonder why the kids go completely fucking ballistic when they get older because they have no they don't have no fucking structure. It's like a firework. It's like taking a bottle rocket and not putting it in the bottle. you know, as a parent, you got to at least give some sort of fucking guidance. You know what I mean? You can't just overlook certain things. And, you know, so I don't know. Are we in a day and age where maybe some people need to start putting the belt to their fucking kids? You know, I mean, the whole hippie generation, everybody in the, from the wild and fucking 70s, they raised a bunch of pansy asses.
You know, it's a timeout.
Yeah, timeout.
I told a friend goes, he had a great joke. He goes, when I was a kid, a timeout was the actual time that you got knocked out.
Yeah. The time it spent for you to wake up.
Yeah. I was out for like 30 minutes. That was my timeout. But that's, I love Charles Barkley. Did you see him on TV?
Yeah.
That's terrible. You know, these kids, that's what happens in the South. No, he was for it.
Yeah, he's basically saying that's the way you discipline kids. You know,
that's the way you do it. Otherwise, these kids grow up terrible.
They'll be terrible. Yeah, them kids will be terrible.
And then who's the other guy who had a fit? The receiver from Carter? Was he like, he was speaking against it.
Yeah.
The ex-guy from the Vikings, what's his name?
Yeah, not Vince Carter, is it? Yeah, isn't it?
No, Vince Carter's the basketball
player. Yeah, whatever. The wide receiver, yeah.
He was like screaming on the TV. I was like, is this guy for real? He goes, you don't do that just because that's how you were brought up.
Okay. So in other words, you're saying it's the most difficult thing to ever change your upbringing. Yeah, your upbringing should not dictate how you act. Well, if that's the case, you know. It's not about that anymore. Whether you were brought up that way or not, the real question is, you know, is there a level, is there a moment in time where a parent must use some sort of shock and awe on the fucking kid? And if you're not going to be violent with it, then you can't send the kid to a room with his computer, with his laptop, and all his porn. You can't, there's no way you could do that. Now, you know, it was funny because as the uncle, I had situations too where I'd be like, dude, you can't do this. You got to suspend, you know, you got to tell him he's grounded. Okay, he can't go out. 2 days later, I go to the house. The kid's running around outside doing. I'm like, "What? I thought you were fucking grounded." You know, so that's the thing.
He doesn't like being grounded.
Yeah, I found out he doesn't like it.
Really? I hope he likes getting it up the ass because he's going to jail in a couple of years.
Yeah. And the worst part about it is when you see this, right? You have economic situations, right? Obviously, one parent, okay, single parent, they got to work all the time. So who's going to raise the fucking kid? You know what I mean? Well, I hope a lot of people have learned that now, okay? Has America learned that lesson, that as a single parent, it's difficult? So when you're fucking and you think you're I'm only 22, life's great, and you're fucking or young, I can't get pregnant, maybe think about that a little bit. Because if you have a kid, we don't need another fucking asshole in the world, okay? Yeah, that's a problem. A lot of people have kids. They'll grow up. They'll learn. You know, kids will learn algebra, but, you know, fucking common courtesy and respect is something that kids got to learn. I saw it in someone posted this on Facebook. There was a sex ed class somewhere, and they actually, one of the students took a picture of the teacher putting a strap on. And actually sitting on the table with her legs in fucking, you know, happy baby pose and shoving the dildo up her ass. You know,
really?
Wearing the jeans, of course, you know, but simulating how it would work.
Yeah, I never took a class like that.
Yeah, my sex ed class was nothing like that either. I'm like, well, if they really want me to teach sex ed, here it goes. You know, and by the photos, it's amazing because she looks like she's enjoying herself.
And now the funniest thing about this, Peterson, is so initially Minnesota, New England's going to Minnesota. You know they need him. This was last Sunday. And they go, all right, we're going to suspend them for this one game until we get all the information. And New England routes Minnesota.
Right.
Absolutely. And Minnesota played good the first week. They scored like big points the first week.
And not to mention that New England lost to Miami Dolphins the week before.
Yeah. So they were pissed. So Minnesota, they bench him. They get killed. Within a couple of days, they go, maybe we better have him play.
Yeah.
Well, then they allow him to play, and then it got reversed yesterday.
Yeah, who reversed that? NFL?
I think they said like some sponsors started pulling money from Minnesota, like either beer sponsors or something
that. Right.
And they go, you know what? We got to wait until this is done. And meanwhile, Ben Roethlisberger,
who was accused of, like, what, roofing a chick and raping her in a bathroom?
Right.
Was, but he never got convicted? I don't think he ever sat out a game, did he?
Well, back then, you know, our eyes were still shut.
Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger said, my own defense, I'm white.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, at his restaurant, he's going to serve a new sandwich. It's a hamburger with cheese, French fries, and two roofies.
Yes, the Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Well, listen.
And this is coming right off the Ray Rice thing the week before.
Right. Yeah, it's exactly. It's almost like trouble comes in threes, you know? Now, do you think that the commissioner should bow down or what? Or is this,
that guy Goodell? He doesn't know what the hell to do.
Yeah, he's my hair looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, don't I have good hair? Is that worth anything?
Do I look my age? No. Next question.
That's good for something, isn't it?
That's the thing. Sometimes these commissioners get set. Look, it's not like the NFL hasn't dealt with controversy here and there, but for God's sakes, you know. Stand up and do something. I mean, one guy gets the guy with weed couldn't play for a year. The guy who ended up knocking the fuck out of his girlfriend, he only got a couple days. Oop, they saw the video. He's fucked. Yeah, there's no level of consistency here. It's like a reaction. Even the NFL, which is you would think is a great organization, are being so reactionary. I mean, come on.
And there's so much money to be made. Like the NFL, is the biggest ratings on all the networks.
Well, on two separate occasions, we just looked at that, right? We're saying where money will just automatically define what's going to end up happening, right? I mean, you know, like the Minnesota sponsors pulled out. Okay, we're losing money. We got to do this. Okay.
Yeah. And both times it was like one of the best players on the team, Ray Rice, and they were both running backs, right?
Yeah. Peterson? Don't you think the guy who owns a team one time has got, why couldn't it have been the fucking punter?
Why can't the punter do something like that? Jesus Christ.
Does it have to be our best player? How about the guy who holds the ball when we kick a field goal? Why doesn't he fucking do stupid things?
Yeah, I could bring my kid to do that. Take the snap, Tommy. Okay.
Do I need to wear pads?
Great news. Yeah, how about those? You watch the Dolphins? Here are the Dolphins. They beat New England. They make you think they're going to be a team. They go to Buffalo. It was like there was girls on the team in Miami.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Like Buffalo just pounded the hell out of them.
I had a few.
Are there girls on the team?
Yeah.
Check out those helmets.
Yeah, exactly. Are you sure some of the cheerleaders that aren't filling in spots?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I was like, how could this be so lopsided?
Yeah, and again, I posted on Facebook something like, "Well, there are our Dolphins. You know, welcome back, Dolphins."
Now, those are the guys I remember.
Yeah, there's our Dolphins, and you know, a few Dolphin faithful fans. God bless them, but you know, they're like, "Oh, it's only the second game." All right, well,
if you're gonna lose like that to Buffalo, you really think you have any shot of being in the playoffs?
You know,
winning a playoff game.
Well, I don't know why you're saying that, because Buffalo has been pretty impressive, haven't they? As they came out, they've won their first.
Yeah,
they're
2-0.
Yeah,
they actually beat Miami twice last year, almost just as bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. I wouldn't. You know, maybe they're. You know, they're and they have and that team may be wanting to do that because all this stuff about selling the team, right? Or didn't the wife?
Well, I think they just some guy bought him and he's going to leave him in Buffalo. So maybe they were on a high.
Yeah, maybe he's like, yeah, we're staying.
They got Mario Williams. This guy's like the best guy in football, Buffalo. He just runs after the quarterback the entire game. You could see that the quarterback had nowhere to go.
Right.
Because he was either running away from that guy or running away from two other guys on the other side.
Yeah. By the way, how about I got to watch that game, but how about the Philadelphia
Eagles again went to sleep.
You know? I mean,
one guy said Indianapolis, this quarterback Andrew Luck has not lost back-to-back games in 60 games.
Oh, until now.
And then the game was under control. I went to sleep. I went, "Oh man, this isn't even a game."
That's when I turned it on when it was 20-6 or something like that.
You probably saw an amazing game.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, you know?
The same thing happened with the Niners. I go, what the hell? So far, I've been picking, I was like 1-for-8 on the weekend. I go, let me see if I could gamble for a living.
I go, I'll play on paper, and if I do real good, I'll open an account where I put some money in and I can make some bets. 1 for 8. One of the funniest games of the day had to be the Jet game.
1 for 8.
Where the guy on the Jets, the quarterback, throws a game-tying 50-yard bomb into the end zone about a second after someone on the sideline called timeout.
Oh, that was terrible, wasn't it? The guy's like, who the fuck?
Oh, God, did that happen?
What a bonehead. Yeah, that was the worst thing. I don't know. But at least the Jets, at least they got a decent quarterback now.
Yeah.
I mean, God. Mark Sanchez.
A black guy named Gino. I bet there's a lot of Italians in New York going, I saw there's something not right about that.
My daughter, she's dating a nicer guy. His name is Gino. He's coming over.
There he is, Daddy. Hey, Gino, how are you?
Hey, you a Gino? You don't look like a Gino.
You don't look like a no Gino to me.
You look more like an N-I-G-O.
I got to tell you, you definitely don't look like a Gino.
Yeah, you don't look like the Gino I know.
You look more like a LeBron. You look like a Lebrano, not a Gino.
Hey, honey, you don't have to lie. What is his name?
His name is Gino.
No, it's Gino. Tell him. He's a big football player.
Oh, okay. I approve.
Yeah, okay. Whoa, you NFL. Oh, good. Come on in. Fuck my daughter. I don't care.
Hey, look, I never met him, but here's a baby. What?
Just don't hit him with the switch.
What part of Sicily is he from?
The southern part. You must be down the south. Yeah, you're way down the south.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hey, by the way, stick around. We're going to take a break here, and I'm going to bring on Jeffrey Gurian will be calling in to the Wake Up Play with Dougie Show for Unusual News, which is always an entertaining segment. Don't forget, by the way, when is your the finals?
October 24th.
If you're in South Florida on October 24th, go to the Mardi Gras Casino and go check out Lenny competing in the finals. He'll be here next week also. Actually, we got to think about that. I'm going to be away, and I'm wondering what I'm going to do with the radio show next week.
People will do it in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. Early. Yeah, I don't want to bring my equipment over there and stuff, though, you know? Yeah, we may run best of next week. We'll take a little break. We'll find out. But, yeah, check out Lenny. October 25th?
24th.
24th at Mardi Gras Casino, competing for the finals to win $5,000. I guess you'll find out that night.
Yeah, $5,000.
How many people are going to be in the finals?
I think six.
Six people competing for $5,000.
I might be going up against our friend Mike Pinzeca.
Yeah, Mike, has he competed yet, Mike?
No, this is coming up, but he's probably the favorite in his three to go.
Yeah.
But you never know what could happen.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, that'd be a fun final to go watch, so go check it out. And while we're on plugs, the whole month of October, don't forget, like I mentioned, October 3rd, I'm going to be in Laughlin competing in the Laughlin Laugh Fest contest. Nice. So come out there and hang out with the casinos with me. And next week at Visani's, the Comedy Zone at Visani's at Port Charlotte, Florida. Show is Wednesday through Saturday night. Great room, great food. Frankie Paul is our headliner. So be sure to come out and see us if you're on the West Coast. We'd love to have you. And please tell them I told you heard on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And you came to see me. There's nothing better than being a draw, right, Lenny?
Absolutely.
And stick around here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We come back, we'll have Unusual News with Jeffrey Gurian. See you then.
Hey.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And it's time for Unusual News with Jeffrey Gurian. Brought to you by GNN, Gurian News Network, bringing you all the news that's fit to dance to. Now, here's Dougie Almeida and Jeffrey Gurian. Jeffrey, what's up, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good, you know?
Good. Everything's cool here. We had a busy week in comedy. Richard Lewis was in town.
Oh, Richard Lewis. Love Richard Lewis.
I actually have two Lewis things to talk about to you this week.
We're Lewis'd up.
Richard Lewis and Jerry Lewis.
All right.
Yeah, and they're not related.
No, they're not.
But they are both Jewish.
But they are very different.
As am I, so I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you can. You would point that out. I wouldn't point that out because then people are going to be like,
Yeah, no, but I'm allowed to say it because I'm from the tribe, so it's okay. But it was a very cool week. Richard was in town because he was headlining at Caroline's on Broadway.
Yeah.
And he also has a new DVD called Bundle of Nerves. I love the titles that he picks, you know? Like he does Magical Misery Tour.
Right.
And he actually called Ringo. He told me he called Ringo to ask his permission if he used Magical Misery Tour.
Yeah.
And Ringo's like, I don't give a fuck what you do. It's like, it's okay, just use it. So he does this, it's a double DVD, and he had a signing at Barnes & Noble. So I called him when I heard he was coming to town, and Richard is a man of very few words, so he sent me back a text, and all it said was, under the weather.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So I waited till he was at Barnes & Noble, and I went to visit him as a surprise, you know? And so he's doing the Q&A, and I raise my hand, and as soon as he sees me, he's like, his words are like, oh, my God, I didn't call you because I have polio. He said, do you hate me? I said, of course not. I know you're busy, and I know you're headlining, and it's like, you know, it's like he's like that. He's the nicest guy, you know, very, very interesting dude. So I stayed for that, and we took some pictures because I wrote about it in my column. And his movie Drunks is part of that. You know, in 1995, he did a movie called Drunks about his experience, you know, in sobriety. He's been sober 20 years. And he's very open about it. I'm not giving away anything.
Right.
And then I went to see him that night at Caroline's. And he said to me, come back before the show and give me a big hug before I go on. I'm like, okay, cool. So I get there early. And there's a message that he's not seeing anybody before he goes on stage.
Hmm.
Because he's sensitive that way. Sometimes, you know, and I understand that completely. Sometimes he just needs to be alone before he goes on stage.
Definitely. I mean, before I go on stage, and it's a lot of thinking. You know, you got a lot on your mind, and you know.
Yeah. You don't always want to, you know, some people are comfortable seeing people, and others want to center themselves. Yeah, he's going to do an hour.
Get in the zone.
Exactly.
It's not like he's going up doing a guest spot. The guy's, like you said, he's doing an hour.
He's headlining, and he's like, you know, you can't hang out with people till the moment you go on stage. A lot of people don't. Some people do, but a lot of people don't. I was with George Wallace in Montreal once, and he was headlining the gala. And as he walked out on the stage, he said to me, what should I say? I go, are you kidding? You didn't prepare anything? He's like, no. And he just like... It was amazing to me, absolutely amazing. And he just went out and he did whatever time he did, and it was incredible because he's just so funny.
Now, obviously, but, you have to ask, you with George Wallace, you think he was just telling you that to, like, mess around? He knew what he was going to do.
No, he really didn't. He had choices. Of course, look, he had, at the time he was doing this was not this summer, the summer before. It was a few years before that. It was probably 2008. He had already been performing in Vegas for a long time. He knows his show.
Right.
He has, you know, he had the highest rated show on the Strip, the 10 o'clock show, for a long time. So he has a whole act that he's aware of, but he didn't know what he didn't plan anything for that evening.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times comics will just talk about being in Montreal or say something about the audience or whatever, and he just hadn't planned anything. He was really serious when he said, so what should I say? He was debating between two different openings. I'm like, George, that's amazing that you can walk out on stage like that and make your choice.
Still wonder.
As you hit the stage.
Yeah, exactly. Some people call that living by fire or whatever it is, right? Or by fire. It's like a marine term, you know, living by under fire. You know, you just make your decisions when you have no other choice.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
When the light is on you and the audience is there and it's a huge audience and, you know.
Big moment. Again, it's not like you're doing an open mic in Palatka. You know, this is, you're at the greatest comedy festival in the world. Now, you know, let me ask you, as a comic, like to me, like as a comic, sometimes if it's like I'm doing the regular show, I'm like, all right, you know, what am I going to open with? What's going to be my opener? You know, the opener, mm-hmm. the interesting sure. aspect, what an opener, you know, what do you think? Who do you? Like you talk to every comic that exists. There's a big variance. There's a big difference between how people open. But does anybody really? Any stories come back in your mind?
It's just that I noticed that some people open really slow. They don't care if they get a laugh right on stage. My training was get a laugh within the first few seconds. Do something that makes them laugh. I notice a lot of comics start out really slow, and it doesn't bother them. They can be on stage for a little while, like a minute is a long time. And they haven't gotten to a joke yet.
I'll tell you that.
And I worry, and then they're like killing. The next thing
right,
you know,
right.
It's just their style.
I'll tell you the oddest opening I ever saw. I think I'm in Cocoa Beach, and Greg Gass shows up and does a guest spot. Now, I'm just starting to feature at the time, so the booker goes, do you want him to go up after or before you? I go, after. What are you, nuts? I'm not gonna try and feature after Greg Gass does 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. At the time, but he goes up and he basically comes out and says, and forgive my English, but he goes, I'm going to fuck all you people right in the face. And people,
is he foreign?
No, he's American. You know, Craig Gass?
Craig Gass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So he's great impressionist and does great. So he came out and I'm like, wow, people are just looking at him and he eventually fucked everybody in the face and they loved it. And I thought, I said, wow, that's very impressive that somebody came out, you know, and took that. But I've seen that same thing. I've seen comics come out, you know, in a certain pattern, like, you know, not really that concerned if they're being overwhelming yet. And like you, I'm of the belief I really want to make people laugh within the first 10 or 15 seconds I'm on the stage.
Yeah, it's like a script. You want to grab them in the first 10 seconds, so it's right. The first 10 pages. You know, because otherwise people aren't going to read the whole script. If they're not interested in the first 10 pages, that's the kind of the rule.
Right.
They're going to toss it aside. That people are too busy to read your whole script looking for something interesting to them. So for me, it's the same thing on stage. Grab their attention right away. But not everybody works like that. Some people are so confident in their material that it doesn't matter to them if they build.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's interesting,
and especially if you have an hour, or you're doing a long set, then you know you have that. You can pace it. You know, it'd be interesting. And I've always found as a comic, I love that. To me, that's exciting. You know, what am I going to get? Because I don't like. I have certain openers. I have like a list, like you said. Obviously, you know, George has a incredible like a quiver of in his vault that he goes to. But you know, in me, I'm thinking. You know, I've got two or three openers I usually use depending on the crowd or trying to get a sense of what I've seen prior.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing, the opener, the thought that we put into the opening, you know?
To me, that's very important. You're open and you're closed. You know, obviously what happens in the middle is important, but you want to leave them strong and you want to come on strong. That's just how I was taught from the old timers. That's what I saw.
So how is Richard? Is he? I mean, he is. The people say that he is who he is on stage. Like, in other words, that isn't an act.
Oh, he's exactly that person.
Yeah.
And so they put me at a table right where you walk up onto the stage. So when he came out to go on stage, obviously he saw me and he came over and he goes, I'm sorry, I just couldn't. And I'm like, don't worry about it, man. It's totally cool. You know, it's just fine. And then when he came off stage, he came over again to say hello. And he gave me a big hug and he's like, I love you. And I'm like, man, that's so cool. I love you too, man. He's like the best. He's really something special. The last time I saw him, we filmed a little video in honor of Susie Essman. Last October, I produced a gala in honor of Susie Essman for a film festival. And I wanted to do a little surprise video for her of her friends. So I called Richard, and he said, yeah, let's do it. We'll do it at the Friars Club. And when I got there, he's like, let's do it from the men's room of the Friars Club. And so that was so funny. So he made believe he was in a stall. And I bust in because I don't let anything stop me when I want to get an interview. I don't even care if you're in the bathroom.
Right.
And I interrupt him in the store, and he comes out, and he did this very funny interview. And it was important to him that Susie knew that it was his idea to do the men's room, not mine.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And it came out great. We had a blast. And so then, you know, then I saw him before he left, and I'm just like, it's just so always so good to see him. You know, he's like the modern embodiment of Woody Allen. It's as close as you can get to Woody Allen.
That is a good comparison there, you know?
Without seeing Woody Allen, and his intonation, his movements, the angst. He's never had anybody write for him. On my website, I have a phone call from him in 1995 when I went to see him in Drunks, and I brought him material that I wrote because I thought he should do a tour called Born to be Nervous.
Right.
And I wrote this stuff after him. And the same night, there was a message on my phone when I got home from him saying, you know, that, you know, I never use anybody's material, but if I was going to use material, I would use this because you're hilarious, you're this and that. He just went on and on, but the word hilarious always stuck out in my mind. And I put that call on my website because it was such a meaningful thing to me.
Absolutely.
To get a call from Richard that he was so nice that he called immediately, as soon as he read the jokes, right away. You know, and nobody's ever written for him. He does his own stuff. He comes out on stage. He goes, it's obvious I don't have an act.
Yeah. Flow of consciousness. And you know,
flow of consciousness.
Yeah, you know what's amazing about that is, you know, there's certain comics that you're right, they can't ever be written for because they are who they are. To me it's amazing, and you see a lot more of that, you know. And the good thing about that is, like I said, no one could take your material. You know what I mean? It's not like somebody could do Steve's material. You know what I mean?
It's like Gilbert is the same way. Gilbert,
right.
And I know that I could write for Richard, and I know that I could write for Gilbert. The closest I ever came was Gilbert starred in a little film that I wrote that we did for the Playboy Channel, and that was cool. But when I interviewed him for my book, that was just me and him riffing. Because he insisted he had never been at the comic strip.
Right, right, yeah.
And that he had only heard about it.
Right.
And that it had good electricity.
Yeah.
And so I went back and forth with him, and that was the closest that I would ever come to actually writing for him, was riffing with him back and forth with those strange things.
Yeah, because he never really answered your question in that interview. He would go from one thing to
another.
No, he insisted
he had never been there.
Yeah.
And that they had one chair, and the comedians would take turns sitting in the chair, and he would stop by for dessert occasionally, you know, just basic insanity. It was one of the most fun interviews that was in the book, you know.
Yeah,
perfect Gilbert.
Which, by the way, those of you who don't know, check out Make 'Em Laugh with Jeffrey Gurian. Very great, great book about the story and the history of the comic strip and everybody who was there. Interviews with so many great people. So get the book, and you know, it's a great
recap. Yeah, and it's got an introduction by Chris Rock. Yeah, Seinfeld is in it, and Chris, of course, and Lewis Black, and Jim Gaffigan, and
right.
Susie Essman, Lisa Lampanelli, Ray Romano, Colin Quinn, just on and on. Every big star that came out of the book, that came out of the club, is in the book. I sat down with all of them.
Now, you guys had this past weekend on Sunday, you had the funniest newscaster contest.
Oh, right, the New York's Funniest Reporter contest.
Yeah.
I was the MC for that, and the girl I mentored won, Brooke Baldwin from CNN. She won.
Now, did somebody people say calling shifty business here? The guy who's hosting, who taught the chick who won, and then she wins?
She thought so.
Yeah.
She said to me, "Was it rigged?" I said, "Absolutely not. There's no way that it was rigged. I had nothing. I wasn't a judge."
Now, I have to ask you too, because she's a very attractive woman as well. So.
Oh, she's beautiful. Yeah, she's so great. We worked together a lot. She worked really hard.
Well, are you speaking code here? Because now people are going to wonder how she won. Beautiful women,
no.
You know.
So sweet. She came to my house, and we worked several times. She actually got out of a sick bed to do this thing. She had been in bed for 3 days. She missed CNN. They had to replace her one day. She got sick like on a Friday, and she couldn't even go on air. She was so sick. So when I saw her the day before the contest, we rehearsed. And she said, "You're the first person I'm seeing in the last 4 days."
Wow.
She had been so sick, and she pulled it together, man, and she won. She was funny. She took it off the page. She made it her own. She did a great job.
Now, it's somebody who is a broadcaster. Is that somewhat easier to teach? Yeah, because there's a lot of comedy schools and some people that try to learn comedy or learn jokes.
Well, they're very sharp. Newscasters are good with working with copy.
Right.
And you know what I do is first I take things that they think are funny and write jokes about that, as opposed to taking things that I think are funny and sure. trying to convince them, because they're not comedians, so you can't do that with them. You have to ask them what they think is funny in life. Well, and then I write material around that, and then I teach them how to learn it, and then we rehearse it, and I go over how to punch up the jokes and, you know, the intonation, where to pause,
right.
to wait for the laugh.
Nice.
You know, because non-comedians try to put in too many words.
Right.
They make it too conversational. They start to tell too much of a story on stage, and then you lose your audience. You have to know where your punchline is.
Absolutely. That, you see that a lot. You know, and sometimes somebody say, that person looks polished, and it's because they're a lot less words to say the same thing are a lot more effective.
The fewer the words, the better. You got to get right to the joke.
Right. And, you know, when it comes, like, with timing and everything, like, that's what I'll go to an open mic for. I'll, like, you know what, I wonder if I say this way or if I say it this way. I wonder which way is going to be funnier. You know, should I pause? Should I not? It's interesting. And, again, without professional instruction, you know, I don't have a team of writers. I don't have that stuff. You know, you got to work it and be the judge, you know, and be an honest judge.
And I want to make sure that I get this next story in, because we're going to run out of time because I have to be somewhere. But I want to talk for a moment about the Jerry Lewis thing at the Friars Club. I went with Lisa Lampanelli. I escorted her. And they renamed the monastery after Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
He's like 89 or 90, something like that, and he can't really stand up too well. But he was there, and they closed off 55th Street in Manhattan for a champagne party in the street. Only the Friars get to do that. They renamed the street Friars Way, and it's going to be called the Jerry Lewis Monastery. And Gilbert happened to be there, and Pat Cooper was there, and I was there with Lisa Lampanelli and Jackie Martling, and a lot of Friars were there, and then guys from The Sopranos, Vinnie Pastore, and Little Steven, you know, from the East Street.
Oh, yeah, I actually saw those photos. Greg Adela, Facebook friend, a comedian out of New York, Greg Adela, I might put the last name. He took his pops.
I got a message from him about that.
Yeah.
From Greg. And, it was an amazing evening. Jerry cut the ribbon. Marvin Scott did a presentation. Lisa Lampanelli and Al Roker dressed up as construction workers, and they presented him with this star because they're creating a walk of fame.
Oh, cool.
Leading up to the Friars Club with the stars, like they have in Hollywood.
I always wondered how come maybe, you know, they didn't do something like that in New York with all the great stuff in the, you know, great, you know, entertainment that's come out of New York. You know?
Well, Jerry's going to be the first. His is the first star.
Perfect.
So it was a really, really cool thing. And everybody had a lot of fun. It was music and dancing and a lot of press. And me and Lisa had the best time. And the coolest thing was that her ex-husband was there with his new girlfriend. And Lisa is on such a high level that she kind of blessed their relationship. And she's like, if you guys have kids, I want to be like the favorite aunt that's going to spoil them.
Oh, yeah.
And we all took pictures together, her and... As a matter of fact, if you look on my Facebook page, I think you'll see it. There's a picture of her choking her ex-husband with his girlfriend, making believe like she's in shock. You know, it's a very funny picture of how most women would act if they ran into their ex-husband with a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Not a good moment.
Not a good moment, but in this case, it was great because they're all getting along. They have one big extended family, which is really nice, and it's, you know, thanks to certain principles that they live by, which is really cool. Lisa lost her dad in recent months, and she's become very spiritual, and she's into a lot of different things, not just, you know, her career is so big right now that she can just relax.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I went to her house for Labor Day and for a barbecue, and she just likes sitting by the water, just relaxing, you know. She doesn't have to struggle anymore.
It's got to be great when you reach that zenith or that level. I wouldn't say zenith, but that level of that where things just start happening. You know, like and when it comes to entertainment, I'm like on the complete opposite end of that. I'm scrambling around, scraping, you know, hard, and, you know, trying to get what I can, and reaching, and you know, and and trying to get as many things, and working as hard as I possibly can.
Of course, that's what most people have to do. But when you reach that level, then you don't have to do that anymore. And that's just so cool.
What a moment.
We didn't even talk about, I don't know, did we talk about Joan Rivers' funeral?
Last week we talked about that.
We did. And, okay, cool.
And then the recent news, I guess, the Despicable, there's actually the doctor had selfies with her when she was out.
I have a feeling a lot of that stuff is going to come out, and we're going to learn things that we don't even want to think about.
Yeah,
it's just horrible that we lost her so soon.
Exactly, unexpected, and we shouldn't have. It wasn't her time. At least in our perspective,
sure.
Being selfish.
So can we do my unusual news? Because I'm so sorry, but I have to run.
Gotcha.
I have people.
Hold on a second. Let me wait.
Okay.
Yep, let's do it. Let's do the unusual news. Everybody ready? Let's do it. Hey, let's go. Unusual news.
Okay, unusual news. Well, my story this week comes from Arkansas. A dentist in Arkansas, Hyman Flimpf. These people are such bizarre names. Flimpf. Can you believe that? He recommends squeezing food for the elderly. Now, he says many dentists have elderly patients whose teeth are so badly worn and they can't afford to get new ones, and their digestion suffers because they can't chew their food well. So he is proposing teaching the elderly to squeeze their food before eating it.
No.
And he says start with something simple like a tuna fish sandwich, squeeze it tightly in your hands, and pass it back and forth from one hand to the other.
Ugh.
Until it's finally squeezed, making it easier.
I'm not hungry.
Yes.
Cancel my lunch order. I'm not hungry. I'm no longer hungry.
Can you imagine squeezing food? Now, he presented this to the American Dental Association, and they're weighing this recommendation.
They're actually considering it?
They're actually considering this recommendation, squeezing food. How are you going to squeeze a steak?
Yeah, that's a rough one. I can't eat the bone in. Please, not the bone in. I don't want to be squeezing my bone.
Exactly. What is that fruit that's like, it has spikes on it, and it's like things sticking up?
Like a pineapple.
Not a grapefruit. What is it?
A pineapple?
A pineapple.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if people like pineapple? How are you going to squeeze a pineapple? You wind up in the hospital.
That's got to be an advanced class. You know?
It must be. I can see a tuna fish sandwich, peanut butter and jelly, whatever. Soft things that could work for. But can you imagine squeezing...
Yeah, well,
you know what happens when you squeeze bread? So squeezing a tuna fish sandwich.
Ugh, that's what I'm saying. It reminds me of the days you brought me back to like elementary school. My mom would make a tuna fish sandwich, and she'd put it on regular bread, and you put it in that Glad bag, and then by the time you got to eat lunch, it was like one big foam thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's what he's recommending. Hyman Flimpf.
Well, Hyman Flimpf, good luck with that
one. He spells it Phlimpf. Flimpf. I never even heard of a name like that.
Yeah, I don't even know what kind of nationality is that. Moronic?
No one actually knows. Hyman Flimpf.
Hyman Flimpf. Yeah, well,
a dentist in Arkansas.
Well, a dentist. And Matt, let's stick to the teeth, Hyman.
I think so. Do we have audience in Arkansas? Are they hearing this?
I don't think they have electricity in Arkansas, but
Okay. All right. Well, maybe someone in a neighboring state will tell them.
Yeah. And, I would think that, just feed them soup. Just give them soup and and ice
cream. A lot
of
soup. And put chicken in there or tuna in the soup.
Yeah, give them
And stop with the squeezing.
Yeah,
really.
When my mom was older, she didn't want to eat anything but cookies and cake. That was all my
mom. Cool.
When it got to the end, it was like, I just want cookies and cake, and we all knew.
That's the good stuff anyway.
That's the good stuff. Well, like always, that's our good stuff, the unusual news with Jeffrey Gurian.
Yes, and thanks so much for having me on, and I look forward to next week.
You got it, my friend. Jeffrey Gurian, everybody. Go to ComedyMattersTV.com and find out more about Jeffrey. Follow him on Twitter at Jeffrey Gurian, and find him on Facebook. He's a great guy to follow. We have a lot of great stuff that we like to post on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show fan page with Jeffrey. Always interesting. Jeffrey, thanks again, buddy. Have a great weekend.
You too, man, and I'll see you next week.
You got it. Thanks again, guys, for listening.
Okay,
thanks
buddy.
Again to Lenny for joining us today. And, of course, for everybody this week on our new schedule, tell your friends about the show. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous and join our fan page on Facebook. Take care, guys, and we'll see you then.